This is probably close to the 1,200th time I've been on stage, and I've never been as scared as I am looking at you people right now. I'm going to go to do two shows later, and it's going to be people I can't see that are drunk, so don't be... I would like to say this is an uplifting story, but it's not really. It's actually a terrible story. Thank you for having me for this. I was lucky enough to get stranded in living in London with my fiance for about 18 months, and she was so cool that she said, "You don't have to work, just have a good time." Pretty nice stuff, right? Pretty nice stuff. I'm not as morally nice as everybody else on the stage here. Like, I screwed that up. Like, anybody have the best relationship cake thing and then you still screwed that up? I don't see that in this audience. I don't see it in this audience, but I really don't. No, you all look like great people. You really don't. So our relationship was disintegrating, and like every good white American, I said, I have to find an answer for this. I'll go east. So I went to India for 3 weeks to try to find some mystic Eastern power to help me with this existential crisis I was having. Anybody ever been to India? Never. Yeah, you been to India, sir? Here's what India's slogan should be. India, horrifically wonderful. Or wonderfully horrific, whichever way you want to put it. India is arguably the most amazing place on the planet and the scariest place on a planet at the same time. Like, it is, it's actually like being stuck inside a Salvador Dali painting that's really sweaty after you've done two tabs of ecstasy. But again, allegedly, I'm guessing nobody here has done any ecstasy. So if you're going to hire me later, that was allegedly. That was allegedly. And, you know how you get off the plane at Dulles and they shuttle you over and it was like Star Wars things and you try to get... And you get a couple minutes to understand what's going on and decompress and say, I think... That doesn't happen in India. India is right in your face, like as soon as you walk out the door. Like, it's crazy hot, but it has this melodic beautifulness of everything that's going on, including the horror that's happening there. And it is really... It's extremely very intoxicating. And the thing is, you start going around, and you're like, you start looking at stuff, and it's not like, anybody ever do the Eurail? Everybody, hey, I'm going to do the Gat Plan, I'm going to do the Eurail thing, everybody ever do that? You've done that too, sir? Great, great, great. Everybody else is going to Disney, thank you for having a world view. If you've been to Switzerland or Florence, and you're at the Ponte Vecchio, India's nothing like that. It's like being at the Ponte Vecchio after you've taken two tabs of ecstasy. So I just wander around India for a while, and I'm like, oh, I'll go to the Ganges. I'll wash all these probs off. And it'll help me figure out what to do with my fiance. And to be honest, the Ganges is like, I think, what's coming out of the Flint taps, to be honest with you. It's cold, too. It's cold. It's not as warm as you would think. So I travel around India, and each day is, as a white person in India, being this big. Oh, by the way, I'm not a Trump supporter, so I'm actually like a really, really big liberal, so if any of this comes off like I'm being, I'm not. I'm like literally, I can't listen to StoryCorps without needing like an IV, and my mascara is in my face in the parking lot at work. Like, I'm a legitimate bleeding heart liberal. But you go to a place and you don't know how to accept what's going on. And the crazy part about India is it's the world's biggest democracy. That's a lie. Those people aren't voting. I hate to break that to you. But like it's completely the most intense place you're ever going to go. But it's so intensely wonderful because the people are so rich. Even the people that are really, really poor just have this amazing spirit. I would give up. I have to be honest with you. I circumnavigated the globe with a book. One book. About, was it 1993 I did this? No, it was still like 2001. I circumnavigated with a book. I got lost twice using Siri getting here, people. Right? You know, Columbia, get some signs. We get it. It's over with. Just get some signs. Right? Right? You know what I'm saying? So after about 2 weeks, it just keeps, every day is just some more craziness and craziness. And it's things that we would never, ever really think of happening. It just, Agra is where the Taj Mahal's at. It's not in a, it's in like a little city that you have to go from, I believe it was Delhi. And you get there, and as soon as you get there, everybody's just trying to beg money off you. Because it's all it is. And again, we stick out. Like, they beg because they see that they think that I have the money. And I had a little bit of money, but I didn't have enough to help 1 billion people. But I would have if I had it. Like, you know, like literally, I would have. If I was Jeff Bezos, I would help India. I really would. So I get out at Agra. I want to see the Taj Mahal. And as soon as I walk out of the train station, there's a farmer and his ox has overturned the cart right in front of the train station. And as you can imagine, a major hub of transportation, it's causing trouble. But the cops, rather than help him upright the cart, they beat the farmer in the street in front of everybody. Like, yes, that's how horrible this story is going to get. Please stick with me. I'm telling you. So you just get more horrified in your head, but you're like, this is a great place. These people are beautiful. The architecture in India is amazing. It is literally some of the best that you're ever going to see. And it's amazing because they did it without combustion engines. And that's really amazing. But so I go to the Taj Mahal, and to be honest with you, it's not really that impressive. It really isn't. It's a lot smaller than the pictures make it out to, right? But the marble that they carved it out of is extremely ornate and extremely beautiful. But when you see it in the pictures, you just think it's like the size of the Eiffel Tower or something like that. It's not. Well, after the day of dodging everybody, asking for money this, asking for money that, I get on a train platform to go back to Delhi that night. And there's an interesting, I'm scared of rats and ketchup. They're the two things that I'm scared of, right? Probably ketchup more than rats, but so... It's, who eats ketchup? You're sick. You people are sick. So I'm standing on the platform, and I see this woman, and the train tracks are just rats hustling all over the train tracks. And I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know if I how is this? This country's crazy. And here's the deal. If you're scared of rats, India's not the place to go. Just want to let you know that. I don't know if you saw it on TripAdvisor, but it's not the place to go if you're scared of rats. This woman takes her daughter, who must have been like a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, and she lowers her down onto the tracks to urinate, to do number one. I'm in a church, so it's number one. And it was, I couldn't believe it, because the rats scattered, and she saw the rats, and she still lowered this beautiful, beautiful little child onto the tracks to urinate. And then the little girl put her arm up and pulled her back in. And you're like, what the hell just happened to me? Like, right? And it's that crazy, but it's a beautiful place. It's like, and the funny thing is, I'm not trying to be a white guy telling you how horrific India is. The world's horrific. We all know this. It's just something that happened to me. So I'm standing on the platform again, and I'm waiting for the train. And the thing is, you always keep your head down. You don't want to make eye contact with anybody, because then it just means that you owe them money. It's the truth. It really is. Kid comes up to me. He goes, Mike. No, he goes, can you give me some money? I'll wash your shoes. I was wearing sneakers at the time. I just turned to him and I go, God damn it, I don't have any goddamn money. Like, I had lost my temper at the time. I turned around. He has elephantitis to the feet. His feet are 2.5 feet wide. And I'm like, you're a D-word. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just gave him everything I had in my pocket. I get off the bus and my head's still nuts. I can't believe what just happened to me. And as I get to the square, there's a gentleman with missing one leg and one arm, and he's got a crutch underneath this one arm and a baby in the other. And he's trying to hop to me to get money, and if I had any, I would have given to him. But what ends up happening is the crutch slips out from underneath him, and he drives the baby and himself into the concrete. Yes. And I go over to try to help him. And the crowd just gets me, these guys in these cheap business suits, and they pull me back. And they're like, he's an untouchable, you can't help him. And I couldn't get to him, they threw me away, blah, 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 blah. The next day, I go from Delhi to Beijing, and I'm in the airport doing the passport checkout. And there's a big glass wall. On the other side of the wall, there is all these... I've never seen joy like this before. I've never seen joy like this. There's all these people, and I'm like, oh, they're Latinos. And there's these tiny little girls running around, just beautiful, tiny little children. They were adopting like 300 unwanted girls from China, right? And at that point, I'm like, man, God's a fickle asshole. I'm like, Quillen, everybody, have a good night.